Hello and welcome to Books on the Go, a podcast where we talk about our book of the week. I'm Anna Bailey-Karras and I'm here with Annie Waters. Hi, Annie.
Hello.
And this week we've been reading The Appeal by Janice Hallett. But first, book news and a couple of stories. One is the Edgar Allan Poe Awards shortlists have been announced, and that's a crime novel award or crime writing award. Mm. And I just thought I'd mention it because on the shortlist for best novel is Razorblade Tears by S.A. Cosby, which we loved. So that's just a public service announcement, reminder that that's an excellent book.
Indeed. And a good list. I haven't heard of many of the others, so well, I have to investigate. I love a crime.
That's right. So a good list to refer to. I wonder who will win. And another story that I enjoyed, well, actually I couldn't read the whole story because I'm not in the industry. So it was padlocked or whatever the word is. But there was, I loved the headline, which is Agents Tip Joyful Stories, Vampires and Cozy Crime to Boom in 2022.
That would not surprise me at all.
So what was your tip, Annie? They also mentioned, and then I got cut off because I'm not a subscriber, that historical fiction will be big. What are your thoughts on what sort of trends we'll see this year?
I think definitely people want light, easy reading. I think especially lots of people who've come back to reading during the pandemic are still, you know, they might have read all the kind of hot things from the last few years and had a really good time with that. And I do think there will be lots of big books about important things too. But, yeah, I think what people are looking for is escapism. The vampires thing is interesting.
Yeah.
Don't know that we're going back to that.
I won't be going for the vampires.
No.
But
there is a very cute graphic novel coming out for children called Garlic the Vampire. Garlic and the Vampire, which is about a town of vegetables. And there's a vampire infestation nearby.
Fantastic.
So I'll probably read that one.
Well, that's all fun. And Annie's got some book news.
I do, yes. Yeah. So the shop that I've worked at for 9 years, mostly books, which is in Mitcham in Adelaide, I've just become a 50% owner. So that's very exciting.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
It's very exciting.
Yeah, it's a very inevitable, seemingly inevitable conclusion to my long time there. I'll be there for a long time to come.
Yes. So that's very good news. And now on to our book of the week, The Appeal by Janice Hallett. So this is a cozy crime. I call it cozy crime. Mm. I have had people who are really deeply into crime tell me that cozy crime has quite a specific definition. And I think in America, at least, there's a whole genre that I'm not using it in that exact term. I'm just saying it's a mystery novel of the sort of ilk of Agatha Christie or the Thursday Murder Club by Richard Osman.
Yeah.
It's a
gentle read.
There's no gore. A gentle read. Yes, that's it. No sort of violence on the page. By Janice Hallett. It's a Sunday Times bestseller. This is Janice Hallett's first book. Annie's laughing because I have to put on my glasses these days. So this is where we've come to, everybody. But this is Janice Hallett's first book. She has worked as a journalist. So she's been writing for many years. She worked in the beauty industry. So she said in one interview she spent 15 years writing about bath bombs or body scrubs.
Gosh.
And then she moved, she had quite a pivot and moved to the cabinet office, home office and Department for International Development.
Mm, so writing different types of body scrubs there.
Yeah. Different style there. She's also done a Masters of Screenwriting and she co-wrote a film called Retreat, which interestingly was about a pandemic, but that was over 10 years ago. And she's written for other stage plays. And she's also, relevant to this book, had a lifelong interest in amateur dramatics. And she's been a part of, which is now doesn't exist anymore, but she was part of an amateur theatre group for many years. And she has described this book as a love letter to that theatre group, which she said some people might think it's a strange love letter, but we'll come to that. She's also travelled widely and she loves an adventure, and I think she said in one interview her favourite place is Madagascar, and not necessarily for the exotic sights or animals that you think of when you think of Madagascar, but just the people and the experiences that she's had there. So she's widely travelled and came to this book. This started as I think she was trying to write a TV series or film, I can't remember. And then her mentor suggested writing a novel because it wasn't working, the project that she was trying to do. So The Appeal is about a murder that happens set around an amateur theatre group, and the structure of the novel and the thing that makes it interesting, and I think people have described it as quite fresh and innovative, is that it's an epistolary, is that how you say it?
I would say epistolary.
It's an epistolary style, which is not new of itself. But I think for a crime novel, I haven't seen many done in this way where it's all done by emails. So what you're getting are the emails that characters have sent each other. And of course, you only get part of those emails. Mm. So you don't see the back and forth. So you have to read between the lines. So that is the structure of it. And so the setup is that a barrister who's defending someone who's been convicted of murder, but he's running the appeal, sends the brief to his two clerks and says, can you please look at this? I need fresh eyes. So I don't want to tell you my theory. I want you to see if you can, I want to know what you see as a fresh pair of eyes on this correspondence. And that's all they have. So they don't get, I mean, from a lawyer's point of view, it's not realistic.
I was going to ask you that. It's just ludicrous.
No, but it's not. But it's a fun premise. And so you just dive in. And to be, you know, she doesn't waste too much time on that. I think there's only a couple of, there's one letter from him and then you dive in to the emails. And there's the main character, I suppose, or the email that you see most often is Isabel Beck or Izzy. And she's a prolific emailer. She emails people constantly, and it's quite funny to see the range of, you know, her tone, and she's incredibly trying to ingratiate herself to the what they call the alpha family in this community, the Haywoods, and then there's the McDonald's. And so then you get a few responses and a few other characters' emails, and it's in, you know, the murder itself doesn't happen straight away, but it ratchets up the tension because you know it's coming, but you don't know who'll be murdered, you don't know why or when or where, and so you're waiting, you're trying to guess what might happen. And then the second half, I'd say, of the novel is where the two clerks have obviously got to that point, and then the barrister says, okay, well, here's a bit more information, and now I can tell you who's been arrested and who's indeed in jail. I think they're innocent. I'll give you some police transcripts, and I'll, you know, and so they go on from there. And it was a Sunday Times bestseller. It's been described as dazzlingly clever by the Sunday Times and a modern Agatha Christie. Indian Knight said brilliantly fresh, ingenious and original, so, so good. Yeah, there's just a whole lot of blurbs, a different, very satisfying. But, yeah, it's had a lot of great reviews.
It has.
What did you think, Annie?
Look, I really enjoyed it for what it is. It's very silly in some respects. It's quite camp. Like, I think it really captures that amateur theatre vibe. So the title, The Appeal, has a double meaning because it's both the appeal that the lawyer is putting up to get this person who's been prosecuted off, and also the case centres around the appeal for a young girl, Poppy, who's diagnosed with a very rare form of brain cancer, and her family, the Haywoods, need to raise £250,000, I think, for this experimental treatment that they want to ship in from the US. So the whole amateur dramatic society crowd around them. There's one of the women who used to work in marketing, and so she kind of puts together a program of fundraisers, and a lot of people donate a lot of money. So you can see that there's immediately this pressure point about the money in particular, but also the treatment that Poppy's getting. Izzy's a nurse, and she begins to suspect or thinks perhaps that the treatment isn't as legit as they think it might be. So there's a lot of threads in the weaving of this book, and I think that's almost to its detriment. She does manage to do an incredible job of capturing a different voice and tone for almost every character, which I thought was really incredible. And you can tell that she's written for TV in that respect.
Yes.
And I think it would be a real masterclass for someone who wanted to look at how to craft tone, dialogue, character using just, you know, this really short, you know, none of the emails are over a quarter of a page, really. They're all really brief, and they all manage to have their own idiosyncratic way of speaking, and you can tell who's writing the email most times without even looking at the to and from, which is fascinating. And I thought, I could not imagine her corkboard worth of plotting how she made this all kind of tie together.
Well, she said that she didn't plan a lot, and she was just having fun and she didn't know what would happen, and then she had to go back and reverse engineer to make it work.
Yeah, you can kind of see that, I think.
Which I found mind-boggling.
Yeah, it is amazing, isn't it? I guess that's just, you know, how some people work. And it then means that you are surprised because she's surprised. But yeah, so I really loved that. I thought I raced through the first half because I think those emails are such an engaging way of getting into this little community. You get everyone's what they say on the page, but also obviously what they're thinking. Yeah. Like you, I found lots of those responses to Izzy really funny. You know, she'll write a kind of 600-word email and then get a sure back from someone who just really is done with her. And also then interesting that it filters through that even though she's really voluminous in her correspondence online, she's perhaps really shy or sneaky or however you want to see that in real life, you know, that she often says, oh, I was waiting to talk to you or I didn't manage to catch you. And they said, why didn't you just talk to me at the thing? We were standing next to each other for half an hour. And she's obviously got some social issues there.
Yeah.
And then there's these real archetypes of the kind of blow-in mysterious strangers who've come from Africa working as... Médecins Sans Frontières over there. But are they really who they say they are? Sam and Kel, this beautiful couple who start working at the hospital as well, and Izzy tries to befriend them and drags them into the dramatic society. Oh, look, it's just, it's a riot. It's very fun. I think if you were in a beach house or, you know, in a wintry chalet somewhere, you would really enjoy just racing through this.
I thought the same. It's really fun, perfect holiday read. And it was amazing how engaging and gripping, especially the first half, was, given that it's just emails, because that could really fall flat. That it was, I thought, done really well. And it worked for me. I think the things that I enjoyed were on different levels. And like you, I agree. I think there were almost too many suspects and too many plot points, because the strength of it was, for me, one of the strengths was Izzy and the character and I'm just picking that as an example, but there was so much there that you almost didn't need too many other, and the Haywoods obviously, I think it could have been whittled down and tightened up a bit, because there was a really interesting story of, you're reading Izzy's emails, she's very gushy to certain characters but not everybody, which was fascinating, because, and this isn't a plot spoiler because it happens on the, say, the third or fourth page, after all these really lovely emails where she's signing off to older men in the theatre group that she doesn't necessarily know that well, with love Izzy, you know, kiss kiss, and just really ingratiating herself, and then she responds to another friend with, no, I won't be going to that, Izzy, like deadpan. And that's a moment where you go, oh hang
there's
on.
There's bad blood there.
Not necessarily bad blood, but hang on, there's another face to this character.
Yeah, that's true too.
That's really interesting. And that makes her an unreliable
narrator. Yeah, absolutely.
Because she's developing friendships, but is she actually friends with these people? Mm. What do they think of her? And so that was fascinating. But what it also made me think of was how I thought it explored how interesting email is, because it's an informal way of communicating. Mm. And some people do just go over the top, and what needs to be a one-liner, they'll give you the whole Happy New Year, hope you had a good break, I suppose with the family away it must have been really difficult. Like, that's not necessary if it's a business context, but some people do that.
Yeah.
And they just, because they want to sort of, they want to up the friendship.
Yeah, where it's so funny. I mean, I know when I write emails, I write, dear so-and-so, this is what I want, and then my name, and then I go back and I put in, hope you're well, blah, blah, blah. And like, I do mean all of those things, but I think, you know, like it's like you have a phone conversation and you call and you're like, I want this. But then you need all the fluff around it, or a little bit of fluff at least, to soften it and not just be like, give me what I want.
Yeah. So everyone has a different level of fluff, I think. Yeah. And then you've got the busy professional on the run, like James, who responds to one of the emails saying, Olivia and I are not going tonight. regards, James, yeah, or something yeah. like that.
You well, yeah, just... and all of those family dynamics were fascinating too. Like, I think it's got a kind of Leanne Moriarty feel in that you recognize lots of the characters, but they are dialed up to 10. Yeah. You know? So it's like we all have someone like each of these people in our lives, you know, someone who fluffs around a bit, someone who is just brusque to the point of rudeness over communications.
But yeah. gets the job done. Exactly. Like Sarah exactly. Jane, yeah. who can be quite curt,
yeah.
but she's actually getting stuff done.
Yeah.
She doesn't have time for the fluff, you know, and she just finds Izzy, you can imagine, but you don't get told, but you can read into yes. it that she just finds Izzy really cringy and annoying
yeah.
and she's not interested.
Yeah.
And then there's the friendship. So Izzy develops a friendship or says she is friends with a character called Sam, mm-hmm. who's one of the nurses that comes back from Africa, Sam and Kel, who return and work in the same hospital as Izzy, and she's desperately nurturing this friendship. And one thing that wasn't clear to me, but it was fascinating in terms of the dynamics and the trying to, you know, the suspense of the novel, was why was she so keen to be friends with this, with Sam in particular, or was it just she wanted to cling on to someone? Because she's obviously a character who needs,
I think it's that
some
person,
reinforcement.
You know, when you start at a new place, a school or a workplace or wherever, and there's someone who doesn't have a friend and they think they don't know yet how much everyone dislikes me, so I'm going to get in first and be the really helpful, show them around, hi, how you doing, blah, blah, friendly face. And hopefully that person will be my ally rather than all these other people who don't like me because yes. they've met me for longer.
I think that it's that kind of thing, yeah, isn't it?
Which I think most people would have experienced that kind of personality.
Yeah.
And it wasn't clear to me whether she was that annoying because that's who she was as a person, or whether the workplace was unfriendly and hostile towards her because that's who those people were. You know, yes. maybe in a different context she might have been less clingy.
And also Sam herself, because then you wonder, could it be flipped? Because you don't hear necessarily from Sam, and you think, well, perhaps Sam is the one manipulating Izzy. Mm. Like, we don't know.
Oh, yeah. So there's a lot going on. Yeah, it's great yeah. fun. Did you try and solve it as you went? Like, were you trying to figure out who was who and what was going on?
Or did guess one of, I mean, we can't spoil, no. but I did guess, and I think it was fairly obvious that there was things that weren't as they seemed. So in relation to the cancer appeal.
Yes. Yep.
And partly because it was just so ludicrous that you'd need that much money just for one patient.
Yeah.
Like the sums of money they started to talk about were sums that you'd raise for the technology as a whole, not for one girl.
Yeah.
So that just had fraud written all over it. But there was a bigger element to that I guessed.
Yeah.
But that was still fun.
Yeah.
No, I sort of had to give up really trying to guess who, let's say, who the murderer was, for example, because, or even who had been arrested for the murder, because there were so many suspects. Yeah.
Well, I think it's one of those books where it's kind of encouraging you to make a guess, and at one point you think it could be absolutely anyone.
Yeah.
But it also doesn't give you all the information. So it's kind of like, oh, choose from this limited pool. You can only see with one eye what's been going on here. And then in the second half of the book, you get a bit more drip fed to you gradually and you think, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. So, yeah, I didn't really try and solve who was the criminal because it just seemed like you weren't actually meant to guess.
Yeah.
Like, like I suspected the person that it was a few times, but I suspected all of them a few times as well. So it's kind of like, nah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it had that element of fun that you get in some of the Agatha Christie novels or others, where because they're all in amateur dramatics and so they're all actors, you also think the whole time, well, someone could be acting as someone else, or there could be someone might not be who they say they are.
Yeah,
in that regard, like Sherlock Holmes used to go out in costume.
Yeah, they're all
dress up.
So, massive frauds.
Yeah, so it's got a lot of secrets and a lot of
I could see it as twists. A fun play as well. Like, I think if she was struggling to write it for TV, I think it would be hard to put this exact format into a TV show or into a movie, but as a play where if you had all the people on stage the whole time and then just had spotlights kind of going on and they would just read their emails to each other and you could like get the tone as well, which would be really fun and it would be really enjoyable.
No, there was lots to enjoy. I found it sort of kept really compulsive. I kept wanting to get back to it.
Yeah.
But I did think the second half wasn't as fun, like the police interviews. And the police interviews didn't ring true. I mean, they just didn't, they weren't asking good questions.
No. Well, yeah, and
just
I think,
you know, basic questions.
She'd almost overcommitted to the format and needed to then have just some straight narrative for a bit.
Well, because someone did say that in the review, but
that second half could have been a lot shorter.
Yeah.
Or the information integrated throughout, and then maybe that would have been a bit more like, oh, well, I know this, but the people, the interns don't know this yet or whatever. Like, I think that conceit was flimsy and a bit awkward, and that perhaps even if we'd just been given the emails to start with and then the two lawyers kind of get into the case in the second half and that's just told as a regular story. Yeah, you get all their conclusions and you kind of get their personalities too. But, yeah, it that didn't quite land for me either.
But there was a lot of comedy as well, yes, where the barrister doesn't know how to use WhatsApp, or
as he calls it,
the WhatsApp.
Yeah.
And they're trying to communicate it. So, yeah, a really fun read. Thank you for recommending that.
Yeah, not a worry.
So that was The Appeal by Janice Hallett. And coming up, we have The Sentence.
Louise Erdrich.
Yes.
Which I think also has a double entendre in the title, because it's about a bookseller. So obviously about sentences, but she goes to jail.
Okay.
I've had to talk Anna into it.
Yeah.
More on that later.
Yes. So in the meantime, you can follow us on Facebook at Books on the Go, or email us at Books on the Go podcast. And I'm on Instagram, Twitter and Litzy at A. Bailey Karras. And Annie?
I'm on Instagram, Litzy and Twitter at Mr. _Annie.
Fabulous. We'll see you next week. Bye for now.
Bye.